You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
On January 20th, the Planning and Environment Committee of Vancouver City Council will vote on whether to increase the allowable height of buildings in Vancouver. The Vancouver Views and Higher Buildings Report concerns 7 sites in the downtown area. The Historic Area Heights Review will affect buildings in the downtown east side. The Carnegie Community Action Project is going to be asking Council to reject staff recommendations on the Historic Area Heights Review. And I'm joined in the studio now by Wendy Peterson to talk about why her organization is opposed to the recommendations. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
Now, what are staff recommending in this report?
Well, they're recommending that 2 sites in the downtown east side double in height, which will double the property value of
those
sites.
From what to what?
Well, from 7 stories to 15 stories. One of them is the BC Electric building across from Pigeon Park.
Across
that
from our old station there, Carroll and Hastings.
Exactly there. And the other site is the old budget rental car site on Pender and Abbott. And then they're also recommending this zone in Chinatown be lifted from about the same, it's from 9 stories to 15 stories, and that would be on Main Street, both sides of the street between Georgia and Union. So imagine those 1 or 2 stories in Chinatown skyrocketing up to about half the height of the Woodward's Tower. That's what you can expect on Main, and I think it will punch the ceiling all the way across down to Crab Park eventually once they get that.
All the way down to the waterfront
eventually,
in the north, yeah.
But right now they're starting with Chinatown South.
But now this is so we're not talking about the kind of heights that they're talking about in the West End of 70 stories. We're talking about something more modest.
More modest. Last year, council did a community consultation, and they had originally proposed to the community that they would build 16 30 to 40 story towers in the downtown east side.
Wow.
So we flipped out when we found that out in early 2009, and we spent the whole year organizing against that. And last year, January 2010, council concluded that they wouldn't go for the mega towers in the downtown east side, that they would go for these moderate towers. They also threw us a crumb at that point. We had been asking, we said, don't add any density to the neighborhood until you do a study of the social and economic impact of new market development on the low-income community. And they said, okay, we'll do the study. But we wanted it before.
So and have, at this have they point, done the study?
No, they haven't. And now they're set to approve this new so-called moderate density, but they have no studies, no idea of what the impact of this is going to be on the low-income community. And we know from our experience and from our research that whenever you add condos to the neighborhood, like at the Woodward's Project, it has massively bad impacts on the low-income community in terms of higher rent increases, which happen to the hotels and nearby. And it's because of land speculation. The land becomes more valuable. It starts to trade, and people start to fix up these buildings. They know the neighborhood's changing and blah, blah, blah. Rents for businesses become too expensive for small businesses that serve low-income people. There's multiple ripple effects.
And you've already seen that.
We've seen it with Woodward's, and we want the city to acknowledge that or at least look into it and try to understand it and communicate it to council so council can make proper decisions about the downtown east side. The other crumb they gave us last year, they said, we'll do a vision for the future of the neighborhood. But they should be doing that first before adding new market development to the neighborhood.
So what is the rationale for not studying it before they bring this proposal?
I think there's a huge pressure from developers. So there's pressure from the development community to open up development in the downtown east side, and there's pressure to make the eyesore of the downtown east side disappear. We want the city and other levels of government to work on the roots of people's poverty in the neighborhood and not displace them onto the street as a result of rent increases. So that's our bottom line. And this is a pivotal moment for us because the City Council, Vision Vancouver, Mayor Gregor Robertson has the opportunity to support low-income people in this community and actually do something about homelessness instead of just shelters. this is their opportunity to be courageous and not approve more density in this neighborhood until they get their ducks in a row in terms of homelessness and housing for low-income people, because people are being displaced.
Are you opposed to density in this neighborhood? Any kind of increase in density in the neighborhood?
We are not opposed to more social housing being built to replace the hotels in the neighborhood. No, we're not opposed to new density if it's social housing.
Okay.
But we have to be opposed to new market density until our displacement issues are settled. So, and until we have a plan to secure the good things about the Downtown Eastside and the low-income community, because it is a real community that has good things about it, and it is being wiped out. There are good and our low-income people are being displaced from the hotels right now. Last year, we did our rent survey, and we found only 12% of the single-room occupancy hotels are renting for what low-income people and people on old-age pension and minimum wage can afford.
And I guess that's gotten worse since the Woodward's building went in.
Yeah, the year before it was 29%.
Oh, yeah.
The year before
that's
that, it was up in the 40%. So it's happening.
Now, I understand you have a letter from Mike Harcourt, signed by Mike Harcourt. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. So there's this group of ex-bureaucrats and politicians who've been watching the Downtown Eastside progress over the last few years. And we've been sometimes, they read everything that we put out. We talk to them sometimes. They're trying to give, they have some interest in the neighborhood. I don't think it's a financial interest, but anyways, they've sent a letter to the mayor and council saying, hold off on the density. Don't do it until you have a plan to secure the assets of the community, until you know what the effects of the density is going to be, until you even know what it's going to be. So that was interesting, because up until we received that letter, I've been really, really scared. And now I think, oh, maybe what we're doing is making some impact. And maybe there's a chance that on Thursday the 20th at 2 p.m., when we get to our agenda item, when we hear from all the amazing speakers that are going to come from all over the city and the Downtown Eastside, maybe at the end of that moment, Vision Vancouver is going to vote to postpone this or cancel it altogether, or vote for no density until we get these pieces in place.
Would towers like this be acceptable if the city made sure that there was an income mix in the buildings?
No. That is a separate issue all in itself, the income mix in buildings, and we have a position on that. But at the moment, even if you add a new project that's got a mix of incomes in it, it still has those bad ripple effects of raising property values nearby, of increasing speculation overall, which has an impact on people's rents, their personal rent that they're paying per month, and the rent of stores and storefronts that serve low-income people. It also adds more NIMBYs to the neighborhood. I mean, it could potentially add people who organize against low-income services. I mean, there's a whole kind of gamut of ripple effects. So no, we can't even have mixed income housing projects in this neighborhood until we secure the needs of the low-income community.
When you say you have a position on income mix, what?
Well, I live in a mixed income place, the Four Sisters Co-op. So there's people living on welfare, and there's people that are making $40,000 a year. But we all share the same amenities. We all make decisions over their property. It's not the same as having Woodward's having a separate tower of condo owners and a separate tower of low-income housing with separate elevators. The poor people at Woodward's don't have access to Club W with the W-shaped swimming pool up at the top of Woodward's. It's not acceptable. And a lot of people are affected by poor bashing, and living in proximity to richer people is stressful. There's a guy in England, Richard Wilkinson, who came recently, who studies the impact of inequality on people physiologically and socially and in terms of more social problems. And I know that from my own experience, growing up as a working class girl in a fishing community, that I get anxious around really rich people. And so this is just my own personal thing. I feel more poor if I'm around people who are really rich And I don't like that feeling. And I feel really comfortable around people that have got my same income level and same values and same reference points. So, I mean, that's just my personal take on it. But we hear this from others in the neighborhood, too.
So income mix is a kind of a bit of a red herring when we're talking about how to alleviate the pressures of development on an area.
We did a visioning with 1,200 downtown Eastside low-income residents, and not once did one person say that richer people will improve my life. If we bring in condos or bring in richer people, my life will improve. They said all kinds of other things, but not one person breathed that word once after 2 years of consultation with the low-income community. It's not the answer. We need to get at the roots of poverty. So it means raising incomes, building housing, slowing gentrification, providing jobs, decent health services, reinforcing community, because there's a strong community here that's really keeping this neighborhood afloat, dealing with the end drug prohibition, so that people aren't criminalized for their health condition. All kinds of stuff need to be done. Mixing people, richer people into the neighborhood is not going to be the magic bullet. And in fact, technically, it's displacing poor people through rent increases. So that's really the technical problem that we're facing right now.
If people want to come along to the meeting, of the committee meeting, which is the council as a whole, I understand, when and how would they sign up to speak if they wanted to?
Well, they can meet us at City Hall at 2 p.m. on Thursday, January 20th, or leave from the Carnegie Center with a big group of us at 1 p.m. if you want to meet at the Carnegie at Hastings in Maine. To sign up to speak, if you Google City Council Vancouver, you'll come to upcoming meetings and you can look at the agenda. As soon as you click on the agenda, it'll say call Tina, who is the city clerk, and it gives you the phone number. And you can call her any time or day, leave her a message on her machine and say, I want to speak. It'd be fantastic to have some speakers from around the city. I know some are coming from different parts of the city. The more the merrier. I love going to council meetings, even when we lose. It is cathartic to take up so much space for so long.
Well, let's hope you're not going to lose on this one.
You know what? We had a little mini win not too long ago. We turned the tables in the council room, and that was quite something. So let's hope that happens again. And if not, there will be plans to still go forward with organizing to stop this.
Now, you're asking people also to come along even if they don't want to speak.
Yes. Come and watch. It is theater in the raw. It is the best theater because people put their heart and their soul in their speeches because they're speaking to people who actually have the power to do stuff. And they're right in front of you and they can't interrupt you. You get 5 minutes. People make the most amazing points. You can imagine, and they talk from their heart, and they talk from their research, and I can't do anything. Sometimes I can't even write notes because I'm so moved and riveted by what people are saying. So come along.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming down this morning, Wendy.
Okay, thanks.
I've been speaking with Wendy Peterson. She's with the Carnegie Community Action Project. And that meeting again that we've been speaking about to look at the Historic Heights Review recommendations by city staff is going to be at City Council on January 20th at 2 p.m.